Wednesday, the man who calls himself the Minimalist has a recipe in the New York Times, along with a mini how-to video, perfect for novices and experts alike. Here is Mark Bittman's Scones Made Simple.
You take flour, cake flour, because you want low gluten. This is going to be a delicate biscuit. In the food processor, with a little sugar, baking powder and salt. That's it.
Well, then there's some butter, eggs, cream. We'll link you at our website. The point is, you make it, which means the ingredients have been less processed, they're better for you. Over the long run, it might cost you less, and it may help stop global warming. What? Mark Bittman has written several cookbooks, including How to Cook Everything, and then last year's Food Matters, A Guide to Conscious Eating. Now he's out with the Food Matters Cookbook. Welcome, Mark Bittman.
Oh, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
And let's just explain what I just said. It maybe doesn't work as well with a scone.
Well, actually, the scone is worth talking about because it's my firm belief that people won't poison themselves intentionally. So the more you can get people into the kitchen and using ingredients that they lay their eyes on and then combine themselves before putting in their body, the healthier they're going to be.
Right.
But beyond that, you know, we have this big problem here of overproduction and overconsumption of animal products and processed foods. And our diet is, you know, I'm not the first person to say this, obviously, our diet is completely out of whack. And to the extent that we can get more, for want of a better term, unprocessed plants into our diet and less of everything else, we're doing ourselves and yes, the planet a favor. And that's what Food Matters Cookbook is a source book for that.
Give us some examples of how the energy produced to make a junk food, to make a processed food, to make steaks is so much more than, let's say, vegetables and food that's not as processed and better for you.
There are all these sort of fun statistics like eating a steak dinner is the equivalent of driving around in your SUV for an hour while leaving all the lights on at home from an energy point of view. But I think that the sort of two key statistics, one that it takes an average of a liter of water to produce a calorie of food, but it takes 10 times as much water to produce a calorie of beef as it does to produce a calorie of grains, and 15 times as much to produce beef as it does to produce vegetables. And land is the same story. It takes about 10 times as much land to produce meat as it does to produce grains and vegetables. The point being that the way that our diet is constructed now is essentially unsustainable. And to the extent that people around the world are beginning to eat more like Americans, it's becoming even more unsustainable. So the short version is instead of the Chinese eating more like us, we should be eating more like the Chinese.
Well, and you also say when it comes to meat, maybe if humans change their diets even slightly, just shift their diet even slightly away from meat, it might change the horrible, disgusting ways that animals are largely raised to be used for food. We all know about that. But you also say that even if we decided as a society we wanted all beef cattle to graze on grass the way they're supposed to, there isn't enough grass. So what impact can changing our diets have on the way animals are raised for food?
Grass-fed beef is definitely preferable. Free-range animals, organic, local, natural, all of that is, we want all of that. There's no argument against that. But we kill 10 billion animals a year in the United States, and you cannot even conceive of raising that number of animals sustainably. So it's got to be a move in two directions. One has to be a move toward lower consumption of not only animals and animal products, but of processed food in general. And then the second has to be we have to improve our agricultural techniques. But they go hand in hand. It's not possible. You can't start thinking about, well, let's produce everything organically and locally at the level of the junk that we're producing. It sort of has to happen both at the same time.
Well, and you say that if the, you know, demand starts to lower, then it will change the production. But your story, you wrote How to Cook Everything before you had sort of a personal epiphany and a change of heart and diet. What happened?
10 years ago or so, I thought that I saw the writing on the wall about many of the things we've already talked about. Basically, that in the long run, humans have to eat more plants and less of everything else. So I wrote How to Cook Everything Vegetarian, which was sort of a companion to the original How to Cook Everything. Then at the age of 57, I went to see a doctor friend, and we did my blood work, and he said, huh, things are different. You're 35 pounds overweight. Your cholesterol for the first time is in a bad place instead of a good place. Same with your blood sugar. You're complaining about sleep apnea, and you stopped running because your knees are bothering you. And I said, so what do we do about this? He's sort of an unconventional doctor. Many people would have said, well, you take Lipitor, you take this, you take that. He said, you should become a vegan. So I said, well, I'm not going to become a vegan. You know what I do for a living. And he said, well, you're a smart guy. Figure something out. So having been sort of moseying down this path anyway, I decided to be vegan for two-thirds of my life, which is to say I eat breakfast and lunch as a very strict vegan, unprocessed plants for the most part. And then dinner I kind of do, I revert to my evil ways and do whatever I want. So all of my blood numbers went in the right direction, and I started running again. I just actually ran my second marathon in the last 12 months. And,
it's a miracle.
It's a miracle, right. Jesus, he can walk.
And just from adding couscous.
I'm not an advocate for veganism, although I think it's a very noble idea. And I'm not really an advocate for people doing exactly what I'm doing. I'm an advocate for saying there's a direction, and the direction is towards veganism. You could take veganism as a holy grail or a high ideal that you have, or I have no intention of ever attaining. But I think that if people say, I want to eat a plant-based diet and move in that direction, any movement in that direction to me is progress.
We'll sort of flesh it out because that's what you do in the cookbook. You kind of help people imagine it. You know, we're not talking about, you know, a leaf of kale, you know, on a plate. It's very exciting stuff. So just tick through. For instance, you know, breakfast, you've got all sorts of different grains that you choose from.
I've never met anybody who cooked quinoa and didn't like it. It's really great stuff. Cracked wheat, you know, bulgur is cooks in 2 seconds, and oatmeal obviously cooks in, well, not 2 seconds, but, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And these are familiar to people for the most part. They're easy to cook. They're easy to like. You can put some maple syrup in there. You can make them savory if that's what you're into.
Well, but then something starts to happen. I mean, you could start with a 10% shift from animal to plant, and then you go to a 50% shift, and you're going to take some of your recipes that may have been, well, let's take your beef stew recipe for
that's
instance.
That's my favorite recipe in this book, actually.
Go ahead.
It's the perfect example of what we're talking about. If you look in How to Cook Everything or any of my older books, you see a beef stew is a recipe with maybe 1.5 or 2 pounds of beef and then some potatoes and carrots and other vegetables for color and variety, maybe 0.5 pounds or 1 pound total. And then the new version is 2 pounds of vegetables with 0.5 pound of beef for the flavor that we want and the color that we want and the wonderful chewy texture that we like. We call it mushroom stew with beef, but it really remains true to the notion of beef stew. It just has less beef in it. And that is a really simple way to change the way that you're eating. And that's what's put forth in Food Matters Cookbook.
And by the way, you're a member of my tribe, a New Yorker. You're, you know, you seem like a sizable guy. How do you feel? I mean, for the, you know, especially for people who say to you, God, how are you doing it? Are you okay? Or do you feel weak?
Oh, God, no. If I felt weak, you can't imagine what my schedule's like. I'm on the road a lot. There's a lot of challenges in eating the way I want to eat, but I'm pretty much able to do it. And I feel fine. Thank you for asking.
Mark Bittman, the New York Times minimalist, also author most recently of the Food Matters Cookbook. We'll have all sorts of information on our website, hereandnow.org. Mark, thank you.
That's been great.